Welcome to Ian Timothy's Thoughts, and this is the first podcast of the year 2017. Today we have Jonathan Sharp and myself talking about this prickly subject of charity. Enjoy these 10
Jonathan
minutes.
Jonathan Sharp is with me today, again at the Victoria Market in Nottingham, because we
love it.
And here's Jonathan. Today we're going to have a short conversation about charity. Happy New Year to you, Jonathan.
Happy New Year, everybody out there, and I hope you had a fabulous Christmas, because I sure as hell did.
Good. So, when we wander the streets in December, what do we see? We see a lot of these charity people, and Jonathan's just told me they're called chuggers, charity muggers. I absolutely love that. And they come along, and the first thing they say is, I'm from Save the Children, I'm from Cancer Research, I'm from Oxfam. Have you got a minute? And in my case, if it's children in need, I tell them that I don't like children. They don't like that. If it's Oxfam, I always mention to them that I'm not too keen with by the research I have, the way that Oxfam handles a lot of its money and the wages that it pays to their executives. And the truth to tell is, I do not give to charity. I'm wondering though why, Jonathan, people who have very little money or even a negative equity, why do they give to charity?
I think there are a number of reasons. There are many, many different people, and no doubt some of you will be listening to this podcast. And I think, well, I've got a roof over my head. I can afford to pay the bills and all that kind of thing. These people haven't even got the basics, and that's one of the reasons why some of these people give. Some people will give because they think it's their Christian duty. Maybe it's because their family have always given. They've given because their grandparents, their brothers, their sisters, and they think it's the family thing to do, the right thing to do. Maybe their parents will think less of them, their siblings will think less of them. Maybe their friends will think less of them if they don't give anything. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's peer pressure.
Would people benefit from researching their charities more than they do?
What I tend to do is, before I donate to charity, I do the research. Have they got a website? Have they got enough background information for me to go on?
My feeling is, with charity, a lot of it is guilt driven. People give because they feel guilty. I look at the difficulty of wars that are caused in third world countries, and it seems to me that politicos instigate a war within the country. People, innocent people, are given reasons to fight each other. They fight each other and they become refugees. They leave their country. The governments that have given the cash to the dictators to cause the war in the first place are now owed a debt for their armament. And that debt has to be repaid, and because of instigating a war, the debt is repaid in the resources and minerals of the country.
Oh, the latest one.
And
the oil burner. Yeah.
The commodity dealers who buy and sell those minerals profit beyond comprehension. And you, Jonathan, and I, and everybody we look at in this market, buy those minerals, buy those metals. Therefore, we have actually contributed to the war and the reason of the war in the first place. And the charity that we give, we would not have had to have given if we had some form of control over the system that causes the war. Therefore, if you and I have the power to give to, say, a legal charity where they could use really sharp thinking lawyers to renegotiate on our behalf for the people who've been stolen from, that seems to me a far more powerful way to give to charity.
When you talk to these charity muggers, chuggers as I call them, the one thing they never point out to you is that when you're dealing with a charity, a lot of these charities are global. When you're dealing with famine relief, when you're dealing with rainforests, you're not just dealing with the Amazon, you're dealing with all rainforests. You're dealing with all famine around the world. The Red Cross is an international charity. They are international. But they don't explain to you that, and they probably don't even know anything about the cultural, religious, or political backgrounds of these countries. They're probably completely ignorant. And if you ask them, they would bluff and bluster, and then you walk away, because, quite frankly, that's it. Or you go ahead, do their own research, then approach those people to see where you can catch them out, to see how much or little they actually... A lot of the problems that's happening in the world today are caused by Western countries thinking, misguidedly believing they're doing the right thing. You look at the Iran-Iraq war, you look at what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan and places where the West has got involved. They didn't take into account how those countries have functioned for decades or even centuries or even thousands of years. Neither have they cared. Because as far as they're concerned, as long as there's instability, they can make some kind of benefit out of it from them. How often are wars caused to benefit multinational corporations to make arms? I'll give you an example. There was a man, I cannot remember his name, who built the very first stately home in this country called Cragside, up in Cumbria, the first stately home to have electricity. He was an arms manufacturer. He'd made his money out of killing people just so he could flick a light switch on. Was that altruistic? No, that wasn't altruistic at all. Then you have people like Nobel and Carnegie and so forth. These are rich, influential people. So I say very often it's the people with the money that can afford to give the most if they want to. So you ask yourselves, and Ian's asked me, and we've been talking about this, what do those countries really, truly need? If you ask somebody after the fall of the Berlin Wall, what could they learn most from the West, what would they say? They want their freedom. They want their freedom from tyranny. They were under 70-odd years of communism, being dictated to, told what to do in fear of their lives. They want the freedoms that we take for granted. And it's not up to us to dictate what those freedoms are going to be. We have to listen to what they want those freedoms to be. But you look, you go around the place, and what's the first thing you see? You see a McDonald's, you see a Tesco, you see a Marks and Spencer's, because the multinational corporations have got there already and are taking advantage of countries that are worse off and are still worse off than we are in the West. It's imperialism, but it's financial imperialism this time, not religious imperialism. It's like, quite frankly, wars in the past were fought with soldiers. They were fought with weapons. Now it's being fought with money. Do you really, when you go around the supermarket, look at where your commodities come from? Your food, your clothes, your shoes, and all that kind of thing. Do you stop to think of exactly the conditions that the people that produce these live in? We look at the type of oil we use to run our cars. How do we get that oil? Where does the oil come from? Exactly how many freedoms those people in those countries have? How much freedom, free speech, to the people of Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, China, Iran have that we have, that we take for granted? And quite frankly, what do they get in exchange? They get tanks, they get weapons, their soldiers get militarized, and they oppress the very kind of people that we are expected to support the charities to relieve the plight of itself perpetuating. It would be a lot better, as Ian says, not to give to charity in the first place. You're not going to benefit somebody like the late Gaddafi, the late Saddam Hussein, the next Adolf Hitler, probably. You probably will. And you probably won't even think twice that somebody thousands of miles away who's gassing their own people, who's bombing their own people to oblivion, you were ultimately responsible indirectly for it because you donated in the wrong direction. Well, I'll say shame on you again. Shame on me too, because I've probably done it as well, indirectly without even realising it. You can do the research, but as Ian says, how much are these websites actually telling you? Are they telling you what you want to hear? Are they telling you what you want to know? Or are they leaving you completely in the dark and in total and utter ignorance? Well, it's up to you to find out. It's up to me to find out. It's up to all of us to find out. And the one thing I always say, dig deep and don't stop asking questions.
Never will you get a better end to a podcast. Never stop asking questions. We come across many, many people who believe they are clever, intellectual, full of knowledge. But you know, the fact about it is they don't ask the questions. They always want to tell you how it's going to be. So, first podcast of the year from Jonathan Sharp.
Goodbye, and I hope you all have a fantastic time until the next one.
And from Ian Timothy, see you next time.
And that concludes the first podcast of 2017. I'm certain some listeners would have been aggravated by what they've listened to, but that is the whole point about critical thinking. You need to be provoked, and you need to learn to be able to listen to other people's points of view, and those other points of view can be utilised to enrich your own argument and your own ideas. Many thanks. Have a prosperous 2017. Thank you.